Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. Yes, another episode of Two Turned Up Tuesday. Yes, reminding you that The Love Journey's mission is to educate, motivate, and elevate the consciousness of all the people who come to our line. I tell you, our only job and our only job on the planet is to return to love. You see, our vision is to assist people to become architects of their own lives by using bricks of courage, faith, wisdom, love, passion, and purpose. You know, they call this a prayer line. I call it an experience. Welcome to the Love Journey Experience. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to get started, family. Yes, you know it's about time for me to start playing my Christmas music. Y'all know I love, 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 love Christmas. You know I love Christmas music. Well, maybe I just love music, huh, family? All right, family, we're going to get started. I promise we're going to get started. What should we play? What should we play? Oh, a play. Andy Wyman, the Lord's Prayer, family.
I know you know the story when the disciples asked the Lord how they should pray. I wasn't there, but I can't imagine that they may have sounded something like this. Here's what the Lord told us. is the kingdom, the power. Now you say amen, and the glory is forever. Amen. That's how you pray, that's how you pray, that's how you pray. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Wow. You tuned in to the Love Journey. They called this a prayer line. I'll call it an experience, a love experience. That was Angie Winans right here on the Love Journey. That was called the Lord's Prayer. I tell you, I love that. Every time I hear it, it just takes me back. Wow, family, we're going to get ready and turn within. Recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. You see, on this line, we recognize that power, that great spirit is God, known by many names, God the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so in this right now moment, we're going to turn within into the mighty I Am presence, centering our thoughts as we come into the oneness. Taking that breath and remembering to breathe and how important the breath is. And as we take in the breath, I want us to remember that each breath is amplifying the presence of the eternal loving presence, reminding us to take in a deep breath in through the nose. Breathing deep into the diaphragm, breathing into the heart, holding it to the point of vibration, holding it to the count of eight, releasing through the mouth. You know, family, sometimes we forget to breathe. There's power in the breath. So many benefits to learning how to breathe, family. In this right now moment, I just want you to be still and know that I am God. And I just want you to take in a deep breath. Let's breathe, family. And release. Still and know that I am, that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Be still and know that I am that I am God. Breathe. And release. Be still and know. Come, Holy Spirit, and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am, God. Breathe. And release. Divine Mother, Father, God, precious and Holy Spirit, I come speaking from the transcending power, speaking from the center of my being, from my I am that I am consciousness. For my holy Christ self, asking that every word of my mouth come, Holy Spirit, and every meditation of my heart is so acceptable in thy sight. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come. As I ask that you remove every human created thought, every human created ego, come, Holy Spirit, that I may come empty in this right now moment. May I come empty and be filled by the presence of my higher mind self. May I invite and invoke the presence of my mighty I am consciousness, that I may speak from the God, Goddess consciousness that I am in this right now moment. Come, Holy Spirit, as I release every thought and come in a place of total surrenderance. Come, Holy Spirit, my mighty I am power consciousness, divine Mother, Father, God, as I invite and invoke the presence of my higher mind self, come, Holy Spirit. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and let your divine presence rain down on us this morning. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Spirit, and let your presence, your eternal loving presence, make manifest the glory through each and every one of us under the sound of my voice. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth an anointing today, God. Oh, I'm calling forth a fresh anointing upon our life right now, God. Oh, Father, Mother, God of this great universe, I am so absolutely grateful in this right now moment, God. Oh, as I give my heart in full gratitude, thanking you for this right now moment, thanking you for the opportunity to come together in one mind, one spirit, one love. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your fresh anointing. Oh, come and rain down your fresh anointing, God. I'm asking you to open up your windows, your doors, your gates, your heaven, and pour down a blessing upon our life today, God. I'm asking you to thrust us into our place of blessing in this right now moment, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and let us make manifest the glory of you in this right now moment, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come and heal every molecule, every muscle fiber, every atom. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to cleanse and renew our mind today, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, in this right now moment. And let us be felt in the love. Let us know that I really know that God is all there is. We give thanks in this right now moment, God. Oh, thank you, God. We just give absolute gratitude, for you are all that God is. As you rain down your love on us today, we give absolute thanks. Asking that each word of this prayer today, knowing that in your word, Holy Spirit, you said, yes, God, you said in your word, that even before our call, you will answer. You said in your word, Holy Spirit, that it is he that gives thee the power to give wealth. God, come and do your stuff. You said in your word, it is he that gives richly all things. God, I'm asking you to rain down your love upon us, God. Father, Mother, God, I'm asking you to rain down your love upon us right now, God. Oh, God, I'm asking you to come, God, and bring forth a blessing like no other, God. Oh, I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and let there be light. Father, Mother, God, we ask you to come and bless the hand, the mighty work of thy hands, God. Father, God, we ask you to bless and anoint these hands right now, God, that everything we touch, Holy Spirit, oh, come, Holy Spirit, that everything we touch will turn to platinum gold, God. Oh, Father God, I'm asking you to anoint our thoughts, that every thought that we think, Holy Spirit, will be your thoughts. Oh, Father God, I'm asking you to bless these lips and our throat, that every word that we speak will be sounds of honey that come from you, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to bless these ears, that only thing we hear is the melodic sound of you, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to bless these eyes, God, that we will see with the 2020 vision, spiritual vision today, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come and anoint our feet today, God, that everywhere we tread, our feet shall be upon your holy ground, God. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and bless each and every person under the sound of my voice. In this right now moment, God, I ask you to come, God, and let your blessings rain down on us on this magnificent two turned up Tuesday. We honor the presence of the mighty I Am consciousness as I speak and call forth the greater version of all of us in this right now moment, as I call forth the higher mind, self, the champion in us right now, God. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and let all of us be manifested by you in the glory of you in this right now. May we touch the hem of your garment, God, in the consciousness of our I Am presence, God. Oh, may you raise the vibratory energy of this call right now, God, that somebody may come and be blessed today, God. And then they walk away a little bit more blessed than what they came today, God. Oh, Father God, I ask you to bless the holidays, God, as we move upon the holiday, that just absolutely give thanks for the opportunity to be with our family, to bake break bread with those we love, God. I just give thanks to those who get the opportunity to spend time with God. Thanking you for all that you have done and all that you will do. As we open our consciousness to the awareness of your abundance, as we open ourselves to receive more of your goodness, as we open our minds, our hearts, to receiving all that you have, knowing that we are worthy and deserving all of your goodness, I absolutely give thanks in this right now. I'm saying amen, and so it is, and so it is. Good morning, God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning to the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds. All good morning to the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the changes and seasons, to the beautiful orange red and gold leaves on the trees, to the magnificent beauty in the universe. Good morning. Earth, wind, the fire, water, ethers, good morning to the beautiful presence of the energy in the universe. Let me just say good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning to the land and the soil. Good morning as we invite and invoke our angelic committee. Good morning to the angels as we call forth our legions of angels, as we call forth the legions of angels right now, as we command our angels to go before us today and create a day of ease, elegance, and grace. Go, angels, and do your stuff. That everywhere we tread our feet on this day, all shall be like gold dust under our feet. Come on, Holy Spirit. Angels, we give thanks for your presence. Good morning, angels, as we invite and invoke your presence into the calm. Good morning, archangels, as we invite and invoke your presence into the calm. And ascended masters, as we invite and invoke the ascended masters. And good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh, to our master God, the Spirit God, as we invite and invoke the presence of our master God, the Spirit God. And as we pay homage to our known and unknown ancestors, as we invite our ancestors into this call, good morning, ancestors. And as I call forth my mother this morning, good morning, Mom, Miss Anastasia McAdoo, Miss Annie Mack, Mama Colette Grant, Misha Scott, Dr. Johnny Coleman. And the list can go on and on, but we give thanks for the mighty presence of all of our ancestors, all of the known and unknown ancestors. We pay homage to the beauty and the presence of the legacy that they left and paved for us to continue. We give thanks, Holy Spirit, as we stand in honor of those who walked the planet before us. And as we send love into the descendants that will come behind us, we give thanks this morning. Good morning, family. You are tuned in to the love journey. They call it the prayer line, but I promise you it's an experience. It's a lived experience. Good morning to the kings and queens. Your love to the gods and goddesses. Peace, peace to the family this morning. Good morning, my millionaires and billionaires, all my inventors and authors and painters. And I just say good morning to each and every one of you. It is an honor to have you here this morning, to know that your presence is here. I give thanks because of all the places you could have chosen to be on this Tuesday morning, you chose to be here. Say, I honor you and I give thanks. Whew. It is Tuesday. This is Thanksgiving week, family. Just want to remind you, this is a 3-day week. We will not be here on Thursday and Friday. And I just want to wish you a very lovely Thanksgiving. Again, we will not be here on Thursday and Friday, but we'll pick right back up on Monday, family. Oh, wow. Thank you for tuning in again to The Love Journey. This is The Love Journey, and I am Janine Ann Ingram. Absolutely excited. I am so excited. All right, family, so we're going to get started on today. We're going to pick back up with Moses. But today we're going to talk about Moses living an opulent, great word, opulent. See, because when we were created to live an opulent life. All right, family, I'm saying Joshua Rogers, reign on us as I say amen.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle. Purify our hearts. We need you to surround us in this place. Bring new life within us. Send a refreshing, Lord. Saturate our hearts.
The Love Journey, and tuned in to this beautiful purpose called the Love Journey. They call it the prayer line. I call it an experience. And that was Joshua Robbins. And we're on the Love Journey called Rain on Us. And I am Janine Ingram. And today we're talking about opulence. Come on, God. I just love the way the world just rule off your tongue. Opulence. Oh, wow. You see, yesterday we talked about Jesus, and we talked about Jesus multiplying the fish and the bread, the power that we've been given, the authority that has been invested in us. You see, we came into the world divinely supplied. You brought your wealth with you in the form of your talents and mind power. Let me say that again. Did you know that you brought your wealth with you, family? You brought it with you when you in the form of your talents and your mind power. I'm going to say this, but we shouldn't, none of us should have any financial lack. We should be rich, manifested right now. We should be rich in our mind and in outward manifestation, because poverty is a form of hell caused by our blindness to God's unlimited good for us. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. Let me say that again. Poverty, lack, is a form of hell caused by our blindness to God's unlimited good for us. You see, the word opulence, which is abundance, and as a rich child, as a rich gift of a loving, a powerful creator, that as I remind you, you were created in the image and likeness. We should be living it opulently. We should be living opulently in this lavish universe that has been provided for us. You see, as you awaken to this truth about yourself and about the universe, you will find your soul. Your soul longing for the opulence that is your divine right. Why are we suppressing with the heart, with the soul that's longing for? You see, the more we study the truth about ourselves and about the universe, the more sensitive we will become to the beauty and the opulence in our life. The more your soul will feed on the wolf and the beauty of the universe, and increase. Abundance will give you a sense of peace and satisfaction like nothing else can. You see, the Bible's great leaders lived opulently. Many of them became millionaires as they used the laws of opulence that's available to us through the universe. Although the followers criticized Moses about many things during their world and his wandering, they never criticized him for teaching them how to prosper. Come on, man. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Moses had learned the truth of opulence when he was a prince at the corner of the Pharaoh. You see, the knowledge coupled with faith in God as the source of his supply enabled Moses to provide for his followers over 14 years in the wilderness. He did it both mystical and practical ways. See, the wearing of old and mended clothes is very common in the East. Even today, when traveling, there one can see thousands of men and women and children in clothes. However, the rich seldom wear old clothes. The Hebrews were supplied so abundantly during their wilderness wanderings that they did not have to wear old clothes. You see, even though they were in their wilderness experience, they were clothed so opulently. And let me tell you, they were not without shoes. See, their large flocks supplied them with an abundance of wool and leather, which they used for garments and shoes. Even today, when a man is in the East and has good clothes and shoes, they are considered very well-to-do. When they are not well-dressed, the people of the East are not welcome in any public and social events. See, the Hebrews lacked nothing during their wilderness. They were considered well-to-do, seeing rich, creator provided for all their needs. They were later reminded in Deuteronomy 2 and 7, these 40 years the Lord thy God has been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. Did you hear me now? That's Deuteronomy 2 and 7. These 40 years the Lord thy God has been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing, family. You see, opulence is a necessity to your inner and outer success. Jehovah pointed this out through the instructions he gave in the book of Exodus. Now, last week we talked about Exodus. The book of Exodus is an example of how to get yourself out of something, how to exit. Exodus is all about releasing something that you want to leave. See, the book of Exodus for building and lavishly furnishing the Hebrews' tabernacle, even though it was a portable place of worship, which was to be moved about in the wilderness, the tabernacle was to be constructed of the finest materials, including the finest wood, goat's hair, ram skins. It was to be furnished with linen, silvers, and gold, and paid with guidance. You see, Jehovah pointed out the necessity of opulence through the specific instructions that were given for the clothes that was to be created for the high priest. His garments were to be made of fine linens and brilliant colors. They were to be set in gold, adorned with emeralds, diamonds, and other precious stones. And this is in Exodus 28:2. It was described. Come on, family. It was described. Do anybody know, family? It was described as garments of glory. They were to be made by skilled workmen, which we probably will be calling these today designers, you know, like Giorgio Armani or something. They were to be worn for the glory and beauty of God. You know, it's nothing like putting on a shawl and shoes and a beautiful garment and stepping out there. You know you are manifesting the glory of the Most High when you know you're looking good. That's why I love Reverend Ike. Reverend Ike had his mirror by the door, and he would look in the mirror before he walked out the door of his house and say, "Ooh, God sure looks good on you, baby." You know, his protege do the same thing. I look in that mirror right before I walk out that door and say, "Ooh, God sure look good on you, Janine." But I tell you something beautiful about wearing a beautiful garment for the glory of God. And as a rich child, as a rich gift to the planet, you are also a priest and high priestess of God. You see, you are entitled to wear and enjoy these things which enrich your soul and enhance your world. This is an important way to get out of bondage to lack. Developing a consciousness of prosperity begins inside out. You see, probably none of us would care to wear the ornate robes that Aaron wore as the first high priest of Israel, yet we are entitled to all the abundance of God, all the riches that our Creator has for us, both in our interior and exterior worlds, all that we can mentally accept and widely use. It is significant. God gave instructions for building and lavishly furnishing the tabernacle while the Hebrews were still in the wilderness. It is significant that Aaron was instructed to wear elegant garments in that barren place. Why? Let's talk about it, family. Because right there in that barren wilderness, the Hebrews needed to lift their vision to opulence. Developing an opulent consciousness later helped them to get out of that wilderness experience. See, they needed to lift their vision in order to receive and accept the unlimited abundance that awaited them in their fountain of wealth that was to multiply many times over the year. Family, do you understand the importance of lifting the vision? No matter what the seemingly appearances are, it's so important to lift the vision, family. Think about the importance to create your environment with beautiful art, beautiful pieces that you can look at and say, "Wow, look at the beauty and the glory of my Creator." Furniture should be art in your own mind. You should create your surroundings, no matter how small or how large. It should be your beautiful opulent space. Yes, lift the vision and create your opulence right now. And it's so, you can just take small things to make an opulent place beautiful. Plants, water fountains, plants, all those beautiful little things you can just make a place beautiful. When I go in my living room with my beautiful salt lamps and amazing artwork and beautiful pieces from around the world, Africa, China, Brazil, all over the world, little art pieces from Mexico and Africa, and just beautiful pieces from all around the world. I just give thanks. Jamaica, Paris. This is my little beautiful place that reminds me of the opulent beauty and of the world globally. It's right there in my living room. And I just go in there sometimes and just thank God. I walk down and look at the beautiful pieces of art And I just thank God for his occupant. Oh, for the mother God has given me an opportunity to enjoy the beauty and the presence. We've got to have our vision lifted, family. Let me tell you, this is the secret to opulence. Begin now in your present circumstances to get ready for the good you want. Do what you can to prepare your consciousness to mentally accept more. You have to make the desert-like places in your life. Now, let's think about what could be a desert-like place in your life. Could it be your mind? Could it be your relationship? Could it be your finances? Could it be your actual outer experience in your home? Whatever is in a desert-like place in your life right now. You see, you could even if you're just living in your own bedroom in somebody else's house, you could go to one of these stores and create beautiful comforters and pillows. I'm telling you, it's nothing like the clearance section in Neiman Marcus and Macy's, and just get one of them beautiful comforters that's on sale and place it on your bed. You know, 800 count, 1500 count thread sheets, cotton sheets, beautiful pillows, and just create your room and create your opulence, your bathroom. Make it like a spa, your own opulent state, and begin to expand your own consciousness. See, you have to make that desert-like place in your life as beautiful, rich, and as harmonious as possible to increase your good. Do not sit down and wait for the blessings you want to come to you. Do the most you can with what you have right now if you want to receive more. You see, when I used to be a real estate agent, I knew one thing. The quickest way to sell a house was fix up the building. They used to call me the Michael Jordan Jackson of real estate. Because I would go in there, and let me tell you, first thing I would do is bless it and put some candles in there. I would put shower curtains and just beautify the place with just small things. See, people don't understand. And then when people would come to see the house, I'll have some beautiful melodic sounds, jazz, candles lit, and they just felt so warm in their space. And I sold it. You see, fixing up your wilderness. That was the quickest way for me to sell a house. People used to come to me and ask me, how did you sell a house over in Englewood? How did you do that in 3 days? I'm telling you, fam. Use what you already have. You see, the Hebrews had gold, silver, jewels, and other finery they had brought from Egypt. They had gained much of this portable wealth through an exchange of assets with Egyptians at the last minute before departing from Egypt, where they had been forced to leave behind some household supplies, lands, and crops. Not to have used some of this portable wealth they had brought with them from Egypt would have violated the law of use. How many of us store up our finest possessions waiting for special occasions? Now, Janine, baby, let me tell you, Janine loves the finest stemware. Now, that's one of my favorite things. You might not know this about me, but if you ever come, you'll see I have some beautiful stemware. And Saks Fifth Avenue has a store called Off the Saks, Off the Fifth. And it's the clearance store where they send all their stuff from last year or whatever that they didn't sell. And you can get some beautiful stemware. I'm talking about one glass may cost $75. You may get $5 in there. $5 just for one beautiful glass that normally will cost $50 to $75 in that regular store. And I tell you, I go in there, I just rack up. Now, I don't have no space to buy more beautiful stemware, but sometimes I just get this urge to just walk through and just look at the beautiful stemware. Sometimes I just come home and I just wash and put my beautiful stemware and watch it just shine, and it's just so beautiful. And I drink my beautiful water while I'm sitting here with my lemons in it, talking to you, and I toast it up to the great spirit because I'm so grateful for the opportunity to drink out of fine stemware as I sit here and honor the glory of God. Family, it's about the opulence. Why do we save up the china for the Sunday preacher to come and then we put like a fine china to feed somebody else. Baby, eat on your fine china on your own just because it's you. So the other day I was really excited about something I had accomplished. So I pulled out my little fine china. Nobody was here, right? I was having lunch with myself. And I just sitting on my table, right? And I had my little candles lit, had my little jazz, and I had my little beautiful glass. And guess what? I toasted up to myself because I was super excited about some accomplishments I had made. And I honored myself with my own beautiful china, my own beautiful stemware that came from Saks Fifth Avenue family. Go to the fifth, off the fifth, it's not in Chicago, it's in Woodfield. I tell you, it's a beautiful place to really adorn your home for very little money. I tell you, it's ways to really create abundance in your life with very little money. I tell you, God is good. But don't save up your good stuff for special occasions. You are your own special occasion. You are your own gift to the planet. Honor yourself sometimes by using your special things. You know, my mother was one of those kind of people who saved up her good stuff. Mama, you didn't wear those silk pajamas. I got you, baby. I was waiting for a special occasion. Mama, you are your special occasion. You know, I had to always tell her to wear her stuff all the time because she would save it up, baby. She would save it up. And you just never know, family. Wear your stuff. Wear your good stuff. Use your good stuff. Don't wait for a special occasion. Every day that you wake up is a special occasion. Every day that you wake up and see another day, that's a glory. That's a celebration. That's an honoring you day. That's a day to get a chance to just say, thank you, God, for honoring me on this planet, for using me. See, because God needed you, honey. God needed to express itself through you as you on this planet. And you are a gift. So each day you get up, honor it, baby. Practice. Not only it makes you feel rich, but it opens the way for more abundance to come to you. You see, River Knight taught us to walk in the rich, abundant areas. He said, then go past the bank and then go in there and write yourself a deposit slip, even if you don't make bank there. He said, go write yourself a deposit slip for $1 million. And, baby, you better believe, when I'm downtown, you got to pay. I pass 10 banks. Brittany said, I don't want to walk downtown with you no more because you're stopping all the banks. I said, hold on, baby, let me walk in here real quick. I write myself a deposit slip for $1 million. I have so many deposit slips in my wallet. It don't make no sense. But let me get back to this. You see, here's a story that I read in Dynamic Law. There once was a man with two sons. When he passed on, his father left a farm to each of his two sons, and the elder son received the home place, which was prosperous because it was situated in a fertile valley. But the other son received a farm in a distant state. And when he inspected his inheritance, this son was so disappointed. Even his farm consisted of several hundred acres of wasteland with a shack and some outbuildings on it. They were all badly in need of repair. There was not even a well for water. He was bitter over his inheritance. This son thought, what could I raise on this rocky, waterless wasteland? He returned home to his rented farm, and for several years he struggled, barely making a living. He brooded bitterly over the great injustice of his father's will. His brother was prospering from the farm that he had inherited. One day, while listening to the radio, the second son heard the speaker say, live today. Begin now doing the thing you want to do. Begin now being the person you want to be. Begin now with what you have, and your opportunity lies within yourself. You see, when God would help you once you have made that start. And those words haunted the soul of the listener. He said, begin now with what you have. He said, God will help you with what once you made the start. So he decided he must do the best he could with what he had if he wanted to receive more. So he stopped criticizing the farm that his dad left him, that barren farm. He decided to appreciate it and fix it up. He settled on that farm in a distant state and began working it. And the first thing he did was to hire a man to help drill for water. And after many days of backbreaking work, there was no sign of water. With discouragement trying to set in, he remembered the words, God will help you when you once you have made that fire. So he persevered. And after a day of deep drilling for water with no result, this man went to bed more depressed than ever. The next morning, his small son awakened. "Daddy, Daddy, come quick. Black water is coming out the well." And you know what that black water was, family? It was oil. This man had become an instant millionaire. In a few days, he received a note from his father's attorney, which enclosed a letter from his late father. It read, "When you receive this message, you will have discovered the treasure hidden in your land." You see, years ago, I learned there was oil on this property. I never told anyone because I wanted you to find it. I'm aware that you and your family have suffered hardships in moving into this place, but I am sure you agree that the reward you have found is more than worth the sacrifice you made. This is your land. Develop it, enjoy it, and you will prosper. And know, I will love you all the days of your life. A postscript read, "You won't need to dig for water anymore. You will find a well under the mound of rocks in the yard. I covered it so you will have to dig a well and discover the oil." Wow. Sometimes if we could just recognize the treasure that lies within us, the treasure that is right there before our own eyes. You see, when we talk hard times, we are sowing hard times. We're sowing hard times seeds, and by the sure law of growth, that is the kind of harvest we will reap. Do not say money is scarce. The very statement was carried away. Would you never say that times are hard? Would you? Such words will tighten your purse strings so that money cannot get into you. Deliberately think plenty. Deliberately talk plenty and give thanks for plenty for yourself and for others. Never condemn anything in your home. If you want new furniture or new clothing to take the place of what you have, do not say, "Oh, that what you have is old or shabby." Watch your words. See that you talk like a child of the king, a child of the queen. Talk like the person that you've been sent to the planet to be. Picture yourself in your home as you would like it to be. Bless what you have. Appreciate. Fix it up, even if it's a small little place. I never forget my grandmother used to tell us, "A hole in a wall is better than anybody else's palace sometimes." It doesn't matter how big or how small or how whatever size your place is. Beautify. If you're in one room, bless that one room right now in the name of the Most High God. And beautify. Put some beautiful flowers. It's nothing like going to the farmer's market and get some beautiful lilies for $3, $2.50 a bunch. I get two bunches. And those beautiful lilies just light up my home. Areolas, I'm telling you. Roses, I'm telling you. It is just a small thing. Candles, flowers, small artifacts, beautiful linens can just change a place around. You can put new pillows on your couch. Family, bless what you have. Appreciate it. We saw that when Jesus multiplied the two fish and the five loaves of bread yesterday, what was the main thing that Jesus did? He stopped. He got quiet and he blessed what was on hand and he gave thanks. And then he told the people, prepare to receive. See, that's another thing. We got to learn how to receive, and that's another day conversation. But today, I want to remind you, as we move into a Thanksgiving feeling today, as we move into Thanksgiving, is to remind you to give thanks for all the blessings. Give thanks for that beautiful, amazing couch. Give thanks for that beautiful, cheap, milestone girl that you just reupholstered. Go for this beautiful artwork. Thank you for your beautiful. It's all about beauty and presence that you create. And your actions will multiply your good. See, the law of opulence works on all levels in life, even relationships. How many of us give thanks for our spouses? I'm going to read a story about how a lady got her husband back. Again, this is a lot of experience, but sometimes we need redundancy. A woman's husband became interested in someone else. When she realized this wife felt as though she was in a wilderness. She brooded over the situation until she realized that she must live as normal as possible if she wished to correct an abnormal situation. So the day her husband asked for a divorce, he expected a scene. Instead, his wife said, baby, divorce is so final. Let us be sure. She said, I'll give you a divorce in 3 months if you still want it then. Believed he agreed. This woman decided to make the best. Instead of the worst of the situation, she fixed up her wilderness by putting more effort into her homemaking. She blessed her home each and every day. She got up and anointed love into her home. She anointed love on the bed sheet. She anointed her house. And she fixed up her wilderness by putting more effort. She made things beautiful and pleasant. She sent love into her cooking. She even began to honor the appearance of herself again. Because how many of us can get so caught up? Let me tell you, how many of us get so caught up into the day-to-day living, being with your husband and your wife for 20, 30, 18, 15, whatever years, and you think that they don't still want to see you look beautiful, family? Husband, they do want you to get up and take a shower. You might forget, thinking that, you know, they don't care. Yes, take care of yourself. And she began to bless her appearance. And as though nothing was wrong, she began to active in her book club again. She took up several sports, including golf and tennis. She ceased to question her husband coming and going. She blessed her husband coming and going. She blessed her husband's finances. She blessed her husband and prayed over him as well as herself. And when she did the best she could with the circumstances, guess what? Everything began to turn around. Her husband ceased being away so much. Their life began to resume more normal pattern. He began to come home for dinner again every night, quietly reading before the fires afterwards. And one morning, 3 months later, guess what? She asked him, it's about time we made the decision about the divorce. He blankly asked her, who wants a divorce? I guess that settled it, huh? Let's talk about the law of opposites to be applied to one's health. A lady who suffered from arthritis kept thinking that when her health was better, she would work in her flower garden again. When she was better, she would do this again. She had also vowed to get back to her professional writing when she felt like it. As long as she kept waiting, no improvement came. She felt worse. The weeds sprung up in the garden and her writing ideas haunted her. Finally, she realized that it would be necessary to make the best of her present health if she wanted to improve it. So she stopped talking about her bad health. She started talking about arthritis. She went into her flower garden and began boldly pulling up the weeds, even if it started out being a little painful. She started calling forth the blessings in her body. She started speaking to those dry bones. Can you speak to those dry bones today, family? She started speaking to her knees, family. She started speaking to the hands and every molecule in her hand. And later she went to her study and started working on an article about gardening. Then she headed for the kitchen, made her husband's favorite pot. And though she did not feel much like it, she reasoned that she could not just sit down and wait to heal. She had tried that and it had not worked. She felt like God would help her more if she just started toward her normal living again. If she just started walking out on faith. And if she boldly worked in her flower garden daily, she began to feel better. Gradually, the pain began to subside from her body. Her writings and housework took on a normal perspective, and she was leading a normal life again with no pain. But nothing had improved until she started toward. See, family, it pays to fix up that barren spot in your life. Live as normal as possible when faced with abnormal conditions. Do the best you can with what you have because this will open the way to opulence. See, to help you start to begin to declare something. Declare a great affirmation. I begin now to talk plenty, think plenty, and give plenty, and give thanks for plenty. I use what I have with wisdom. I make the best of my present situation, and God will help me as I make that start. Because opulence is my divine right, and I claim it in every phase of my life, and I dare to fix up my wilderness right now, in this right now moment. Another thing that we have to think about in Moses' time was tithing. You see, Moses pointed out the tithing of offerings to the Hebrews while they were still in the wilderness. They never questioned his instructions, which had been given him by Jehovah right up the east. As they tithed, they prospered accordingly. Moses had earlier learned the universal practice of tithing in the temple of Egypt. See, the Hebrews were instructed to give all of the tithe, all of the land, seed, fruit, grain, wine, or the firstlings of the flock. Whatever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto Jehovah. Leviticus 27:30-32, Deuteronomy 14:20-23. He reminded them that when they entered their abundant promised land, the way to remain prosperous would be by tithing. People may be prosperous, but tithing brings a success 10 times easier and 10 times quicker. See, the idea of material prosperity as a reward for faithfulness is common to the Old Testament. Moses commanded obedience to the inner and outer laws he laid down, assuring the Hebrews that every blessing will come to Israel, prosperity, health, protection, and guidance. Should the Hebrews forget God as the giver of all, they would perish. If the Hebrews were faithful, they would be so poor. They would not be, no. You see, loyalty to God will bring inevitable prosperity. All manner of bountifulness will be there. His promises have stood the test of time over centuries. Those who look to God for guidance and supply experience an insurmountable prosperity and all manners of bountifulness. Those who do not can experience some different kind of things in their life. I tell you, God is good. All kinds of people. William Colgate went out to the world as a poor boy seeking his fortune. He found it after he started tithing. He became the owner of one of the largest soap companies in the world. The Hines family started tithing and built a fortune in the pickle business. Mr. Kraft started tithing early in his business career. He founded Kraft Cheese Company, and you know the opulent results. The law of opulence includes where you give your tithes. You place your faith where you place your money. You should give your tithes at the point of points where you are receiving spiritual help and inspiration. A businesswoman once wrote, "I do not understand. I'm using the law of prosperity, yet I am not prospering. I have an apartment house that I cannot keep rented. Don't tell me to tithe. I'm already doing so." When asked, "What are you tithing?" she replied, "I cannot see that it matters where I give. I tithe to the church that I used to attend because they still send me pledge cards. But I attend another church now where I find far more inspiration and practical help." It was suggested that what she gave her tithes is just as important how she spent the other 90% of her income. She would not go to one doctor for help, yet pay another. She would not go to one restaurant to be fed and pay another restaurant. Neither should she give at one point when she had received spiritual help elsewhere. You see, where you give your tithes is very important. It may not be the largest spiritual organization or the most prominent. You should give to that individual in spiritual work or to the organization where you're receiving your spiritual help and inspiration. You see, the act of tithing provides you with sufficient funds to distribute in several ways if you wish. Such giving makes you feel rich, as well as enriching the recipient. Should not each spiritual organization and its workers demonstrate their own supply? Someone asks, certainly. But God supplies their needs through those whom they serve. God is their supply. We are the channels of that supply. If you look to such an organization for your help and your inspiration, is it natural that you become a channel through which God will supply them back to that organization needs? It's a poor rule that does not work both ways. You should deliberately prosper those who inspire. You should deliberately prosper those who inspire and help you meet your life's problems victoriously. If for no other reason than to safeguard your best interest, you should make your chosen channel of inspiration as prosperous as possible in order to keep it free from financial burdens so that it may continue to minister spiritually and unhindered by material care. You see, because the world loves a prosperous spiritual worker. There is a better reason for prosperous, inspirational organization than those in spiritual work. See, as in the time of Moses, even now the world wants and needs spiritual organization and workers who can tell you how to be prosperous. And through their own lives are demonstrating that now these prosperity laws, the world loves and respects and listens to those in spiritual work who have proven the law of opulence. Such workers have a high-powered consciousness that draws and inspires a loyal following. And by giving to those in such a high power consciousness, you tune in on that consciousness and open a way to receive your own vast blessings of an extended good in your life. You see, under the Mosaic law, the priests of Old Testament were millionaires. The priestly tribe of Levi did not receive any of the promised land later during the reign of Joshua. Instead, they received all the tithes from the entire promised land. That's in Joshua 18:7. For the Levites have no portion of land among you, for the priesthood of Jehovah is their inheritance. Numbers 18:20. Unto the children of Levi, I have given all the tithes in Israel for their inheritance. In turn, the priest gave a tithe of the tithe, known as a heave offering, to the tabernacle, the temple, or the place of worship. Numbers 18:26. When ye take up the children of Israel, the tithe which I have given you from them from your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for Jehovah, a tithe of the tithe. You see, there's no shortcuts in developing a prosperity consciousness of opulence. There are those who say, I do not tithe, to those who inspire me, but I do show my appreciation with gifts. You would not take your doctor or lawyer a gift instead of paying him properly for their professional services. A spiritual consciousness is a result of a lifetime or perhaps many lifetimes of development. Its help is priceless to the one seeking it. Just appreciation opens the way for the expansion of your own consciousness of opulence. There are people everywhere who are spiritually minded, only up to their hip pockets. They give the Lord practically everything, advice, excuses, good attention, a little time, and even a little energy, except the coin of the realm. Not so of those who are developing a true opulence consciousness. It includes abundant generosity. Sharing is always the beginning of opulent increase. You see, the Hebrews developed such an opulent consciousness in the wilderness that Moses had to finally restrain them from giving. The people were restrained. This is in Exodus 36, 6 and 7. The people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work, and it was too much. You see, as we begin to use the law of opulence in the various ways described in this conversation today, we can get out the wilderness of limitation and lack into our own promised land of lavish and abundance. I trust the time will come when we also will have to be restrained from our giving. I tell you, the land of opulence, as we go within right now to think plenty, talk plenty, and give thanks for plenty. As we make the most of our present situation, we begin by using what we have. We can tie that way to opulence. God will help us when once we make the right start, our success comes 10 times easier and 10 times quicker as we use the tithing law of opulence. Consistent sharing is always the beginning of our consistently opulent increase. Today, family, remember what you have. Make the place that you have in your space right now and bless it. Fix it up. Create the opulence. Multiply your good and invoke the laws, the spiritual laws, into your life today. That's my message about living opulent, reminding you that opulence means wealth, riches, abundance in all areas of our life. And I want to remind you, family, you didn't take nothing away from this call today. I want to remind you that you came into the world divinely surprised. You see, when you were brought into the world, you brought your wealth with you. And you brought your wealth in the form of your talents and your mind power. You should not have any lack in your life. You should be rich in every area, in your mind and outward manifestation. Because why? Poverty is a form of hell caused by our blindness to God's unlimited good for us. Remember God's unlimited good for us. Why? Because opulence means wealth, riches, and abundance. And as a child, as the Creator created us in His, in her likeness and image, the Divine Mother, Father God, created us in the image and that idolized the expressions of God, of the Creator, of the divine love, eternal love and presence. We, in that, we have been provided for the day we were born. We ought to be living and ought to be opulent, lavish life. And so today, family, are we creating goals that's worthy of our soul? Let's listen to my quick word, and then we're going to get out of here. Tell me, I say this again. You were born with your opulent wealth through a form of talents and gifts. And I want you to think about that. As you move through the day, are we really using the wealth of our lives, the wealth of our gifts? You see, your plan small does not harm anybody. You can't keep hiding, family. The books you write, the gifts you give, your speaking, your teaching, family. We didn't call that on the carpet. God's people are being called out on the carpet. Your story is important. You see, it doesn't matter where it comes from. It don't matter if you've been hooked on drugs. It don't matter if you was an alcoholic or whatever. It don't matter if you sold your body on the street. It don't matter about any where you come from. Family, it only matters today what you're doing with your gifts and your talent. That is your riches. That is your opulence. Why am I saying that? Because the word tells us that your gifts and your talents will do what? Make room for you. What is that saying? When God says, seek ye the kingdom of God, God says, seek ye the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is you, in you, as you. And all of his righteousness means what? God told me all of your righteousness is what? All of your gifts and your talents. You do not have time to really hear what Michael Beckwith is saying. I ask you to come back and listen. You can move the fast forward to this point. But I want you to listen.
I am Michael Beckwith, and I want you to be aware of something. That inside, within you already, there is a seed idea about your infinite potential and infinite possibility. You didn't get that from your parents. It's not heredity. You didn't get that from society. It's not a societal fantasy. You got that directly from the source. And when you are pulled by what you're meant to be, the goals that you have for your life then pull from you the latent possibilities of your soul. Some people have goals that they want to manifest, but the goals have come from the parental fantasies, what their mother wanted them to be when they grew up, or their dad, or what your teacher told you you should be, or what your church told you you should be. No, there's something within you. And you want to have a goal that's worthy of that which is within you and that grows you at the same time. So as I'm speaking to you right now, I want you to begin to remember those moments in your life from the time that you could first think as a child, as an infant. There were some ideas that flowed through you. There were some meant-to-be-isms. There were some ways that you wanted to challenge yourself, to make a difference on the planet. Before you got bombarded with societal fantasies, there was something about you. Because you know what? You chose to be here. You're not an accident. Regardless of what your parents may have told you, you are an on-purpose with a purpose. So as I'm speaking to you, you're becoming aware. You're starting to remember that being that knew why he or she arrived on the planet, the gifts they wanted to share, and the difference, here it is, the difference they wanted to make on the planet. You want to make a difference on the planet. That difference you want to make is a goal that's worthy of your soul. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to consider answering this question. What difference do I want to make on the planet before I leave? How do I want the world to be better before I leave? How do I want my relationships, my neighborhood, anything I encounter to be better before I leave? As you are answering that question, you are beginning to bump into the reason why you chose this incarnation. Are you feeling it with me right now? What difference do you want to make before you leave this planet? Now, as you're feeling that, close your eyes for a moment. Remember, you're feeling into, what difference do I want to make before I leave this planet? As you're asking that question, allow for a wonderful goal to emerge. It doesn't have to be far-flung right now. It doesn't have to be world-shaking and way out there. It can be a baby step. It can be something small in the beginning. But it's attached to the difference you want to make on the planet. Not just something you've inherited from your parents or society. So you're asking, what difference do I want to make before I leave this planet? Now ask, what goal is emerging that's worthy of the difference I want to make? Now listen. Now inwardly see what goal is emerging. Mentally begin to describe that goal. You don't have to ask, how am I going to do the goal? Just describe it. For if you know what, you'll ultimately know how. If you know the what, you'll always know the how. What is the goal? Articulate it to yourself. How does it feel? Let's go over this. You're feeling this. You're feeling, what difference do I want to make before I leave the planet? What goal is worthy of that? Describe it to yourself. And what does it feel like? Take a deep breath. Release. Now that goal will grow you. In other words, it's not just about the accomplishment of the goal, but it's about what you will become as you walk in that direction. So it is not just a goal for the sake of a goal. It's not just basic goal setting. It is the emergence of the difference you want to make. Now remember, you are a radiant being and something wants to emerge. Feel into that. And then be aware moment on, as you ask that pertinent question, what difference do I want to make, you will be inspired, breathed through by the universal presence, and thoughts will begin to emerge within you that you're not generating, but you are obtaining from the mind of the infinite. You are obtaining thoughts from the mind of the infinite based on the question you're living in. So what's going on here? You're not a victim. You're not a victim to circumstance and situations and conditions. You are a radiant being that has dominion over the attention and is catching a goal worthy of you making the difference you have come here to make. This is spiritual technology. This is right speak, right talk, right intention. This is what you're about.
All right, family. Thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey today, reminding you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember, family, to choose love. Love is a choice. Remember to not just dream, but live your God-sized dreams. Family, have a great day. Here's Masterpiece. I am a masterpiece. Yes.
That's more like it, New York. No, really, I love you too. So this is supposed to be intimate, right? So as I said before, some years ago, I took a break. No more break. And it got to be a little longer than expected, but I never really said why I went on a break. I found myself in a really, really bad situation with a man. And, we saw our name. No, that's right. And it got to be abusive. And, you know, I stayed in the relationship because I loved him. And love can make you do some really crazy things, and it can make you accept some really, really crazy things. And I thought I was doing what was right. I was trying to stay and be the damn chick. Ride for my man. He gonna get it together. He ain't gonna do it again, y'all. But I had to realize that I had to love myself more than I loved him. And real love doesn't do that. We know that, right? Real love don't hit you. And it took me a long time to come to that place where I truly loved myself and I appreciated myself. But I finally started to do that, and I knew it was best that I had to go. I had to walk away from that situation. And so I wrote this song on my new album, Reality Show. Y'all gonna pick that up, Reality Show? But this song, I debuted actually in London, my first show back, and it's called Mona Lisa, Masterpiece. And now I realize that I am a masterpiece. And I love myself however I come, skinny or thick. Because it gets hard, you know, in society to appreciate the things about you that are different. And I felt like that for a long time, but now I can finally say I'm free of that. I love myself exactly how I am, and I want you guys to love yourself too. So I want you to check out this song, all right, Mona Lisa. I'm not afraid of the dark.
Wow, you are a masterpiece. You are a Mona Lisa. You are beautiful. All right, family, I'll see you in the morning. We only got 3 days this week. Tomorrow is the last day. We're off Thursday and Friday, and I wish you lots of love, peace, and happiness throughout the day. May God pour lots of love, joy, happiness, success, money, and fulfillment today for your life. Have a great day. See you in the morning, family.